Welcome to the Gymea Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're listening to the pod and trust that this message encourages your heart and faith today. At GBC, we're all about partnering with God in the renewal and restoration of all things, and it's our hope that through these sermons, you'll discover the life-changing power of Jesus. If you'd like to join us in person or online or find out more, check out our website at gymeabaptist.org.au.
Our reading tonight is from Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he's freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in God's position, to the praise of his glory.
Thanks, Derek, and hello, welcome. My name is Tim. I'm going to put my water glass back there, and I'm very thankful to be here today. I'm a member of GBC's night services, and I've been going to GBC for the last 10 and a bit years. I'd love to extend a warm welcome, especially to those who are starting to visit GBC or even here for the first time. I hope and pray you feel welcomed and are settling in well. Another warm welcome to those who have been here before or for a long time. It's a privilege to be able to speak to everyone here tonight. Well, tonight, I have the absolute blessing to share with you a passage that has been of great encouragement to me from the very start of Ephesians. During my time at university, I spent a great deal of time in this book of the Bible, and I love its gospel account and focus on how the great person and characteristics of Jesus should spread and take shape in our lives. I'd love to quickly pray for us before we dive into God's word together. So would you please pray with me? Dear Lord, thank you for having your hand over us all. I pray that tonight you would fill us with your grace, peace, and hope so that we could receive your words freely and clearly. Please help us to be convicted to put our faith in you and to grow in your likeness. We bring this time humbly before you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Now, I wonder if you guys have a TV show or a movie that you've recently watched which you just love. Now, I wonder why you found this show or movie to be so good. Was it effective storytelling which just encapsulated you? You needed to find out how it ended. Was it the music or the emotional impact it had on you? Was it the fact that it made you laugh all the way through? Was it even the fact that you completely related to and understood a major character, maybe even sharing some of their experiences? Well, finding out about someone's favourite shows or movies is one of the many great ways to get to know each other. For me, my favourite movie for years has actually been Inside Out 1. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but I totally reckon you should. If you've heard of it, you may know that the storyline is about all the different emotions of a kid called Riley, like joy, sadness, anger, fear, and disgust. Well, in the movie, these emotions have to work together to get Riley through life situations by taking control of Riley in certain situations. They even had psychologists work on both movies, and other psychologists have seen these movies as fairly accurate when thinking about the human brain and emotions. Well, the main premise behind the first movie is the struggle between joy and sadness. To joy, it seems like sadness is ruining everything. Joy just wants the kid to always be happy. Realistic, right? What Joy didn't realize until the end, though, was just how important it is to experience all emotions, like sadness. Now, of course, no movie is perfect, but I think this movie did really get across the fact that we need to have balance in and with our emotions. Well, as you may know, I was pretty keen when Inside Out 2 came out right a month ago now. So much so, I was getting everyone from my family to come watch the second movie with me. Now, I won't give away too much with that movie, but the main conflict turns towards giving us more understanding on the emotion of anxiety. Now, this passage in Ephesians speaks about the unity that God's people has. And it made me wonder what emotions we associate with feeling and being in unity. Maybe it's joy we can have together as God's people. It could also be emotions of hope, love, and contentment, which ultimately help give us a sense of belonging and purpose. Now, this passage tonight goes even further beyond my favorite movie of controlling one's emotions, with Paul talking to the church of Ephesus about how they have a role in this world to play. And part of our role to play is that as God's people, we can display unity, a sense of belonging and purpose on earth, which ultimately points towards our Creator's goodness. Now, if you've got your Bibles, feel free to chuck it back to Ephesians 1. Paul starts out this address to the people of Ephesus, and that it's clear in the first verse of Ephesians, he is writing to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Quite a bit of Paul's time in Ephesus is actually accounted for in Acts chapter 19, and he was convincing people who had already been baptized by John that they need to believe in Jesus, the one coming after him. It says in verse 8 of Acts 19 that Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But see, people in the Ephesian society were worshipping other gods, particularly a goddess named Artemis. Later in Acts 19, people are shouting, "Great is Artemis!" But in verse 32 of Acts 19, it talks about the assembly being in confusion. Some were shouting one thing, some another. Most people did not know why they were there. The people of Ephesians weren't fully in unity, worshipping many gods, and needed to understand the hope of God, which gives us unity, knowing Jesus. Well, at the very start of Ephesians in verse 1, Paul calls himself an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. An apostle is someone sent on mission, someone who is on mission for Jesus. The interesting thing about Paul, formerly known as Saul, is that he used to be an opponent of Jesus. Paul would go about persecuting other Christians. He seemed like the least likely person to turn towards God. However, if you remember the old Sunday school stories of Saul being converted and changing his name to Paul from Acts 9, Paul saw the Lord's splendor and authority, and as such was chosen by him to proclaim his name. Well, I don't know if there are certain people in your life that you think, well, they could never be a Christian. They're too far away because they're like this, or they say this, or they do this. Maybe even sometimes you feel you're too far away from God because of who you are. But through people who have been on mission for the Lord like Paul, even people who are opponents of God can become transformed to being apostles of God. For us, we should remember to never lose our personal faith and hope in those in life we are blessed to be around. Well, Paul, then in verse 2 of our passage, greets the Ephesians, who he holds close, stating that they have grace and peace from God, our Father and Lord. This could have been said for a few reasons. Maybe the church of Ephesus needed to be reminded that they had grace and as such were given peace. Well, maybe with the context we've just had, maybe it was they needed to remember that the grace and peace that they knew they had was only from the Lord and not from other people or statues. Well, one thing is clear, and that's the order of grace and peace are never reversed. It is the grace of God that is so generously given, which gives us peace from God next. Paul uses this standard greeting of grace and peace many times when he's writing to churches like Ephesus, or even when he's greeting other people like Titus and Timothy. Paul has seen that God has given us grace, favor which we do not deserve. Yet God freely gives us this grace. God's grace serves as a bridge connecting us to God and allowing us to be in relationship with him. Because of this, friends, we are also given other free gifts. And Paul specifically connects God's grace to us having peace. This is just one part of many in the passage which points towards the unity and common belief God's people have. We have grace from God and thus can display peaceful relations with others. Well, later on, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, it says to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit, and that is through the bond of peace. God has given us his grace so that we can have peace, which is a basis to which we can be unified and help point us and others towards Jesus. Now, after that, we get past the introductions and into the letter itself. Paul starts in verse 3 by praising God, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. See, God has blessed us abundantly with everything that we could ever need on this earth. Now, a lot of the time, I think it's very easy for us to think of the physical blessings we have and not so much about the spiritual blessings we have, which I actually think are more important. For example, we spend a lot of time praying about and thanking God for good health or being in a good financial situation or for your kids' successes, for a stable job, nice food, clothing, water. Now, these definitely are all good things to be thankful to God for. But we're also spiritual beings who can find all spiritual blessings in Christ. This passage in Ephesians is filled with the multitude of spiritual blessings we receive and should be thankful for. Few examples. We receive grace. We can have peace. We can be chosen. We have redemption, forgiveness of our sins. We are even marked with the Holy Spirit and so much more. And it's these spiritual blessings that as God's people we have in common. Now, parts of the passage, like verses 4 and 5, can be more tricky and even possibly divisive amongst Christians when thinking about predestination, free will. Are all things willed by God and do we have control? Well, this sermon will not cover those questions in entirety, partly because it could cover an entire sermon in itself, and it really could, and partly because getting too caught up in these questions shifts our focus away from the unity we ought to have as God's people. But any questions you have, I heard that Roxy on her birthday is around after the service, so nah, definitely happy to chat about it with you. It does go on to say, though, in verse 4, that God chose us to be holy and blameless in his sight. This stems from God's grace and love. We can be hopeful because we have been adopted as children of God. God chose us to be holy, which looks like being set apart from the world and committed to God. As God's people, we have a responsibility to have God as our first priority, and we have unity in our behavior being shaped by Jesus rather than other people, which I think is really freeing. Well, this passage goes on explaining the great sacrifice that Jesus made for our sins, going from verse 7 that in him we have redemption through his blood. Jesus has delivered us or saved us from our sin. And as such, Christ Jesus is the very mystery of God's will explained in verse 9. Now, verses 8 to 10 serve as possibly my favourite part in the whole book of Ephesians. It comes off the back of awesome doctrine of God's character and talks about the purpose of Jesus. So, if you haven't already, feel free to open your Bibles to Ephesians 1. So, if you haven't already, feel free to do that. And we're going to be reading from the second part of verse 8 again. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put in effect when times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Jesus is the only one who could bear the weight of all our wrongdoing. We don't deserve it, yet it came out of God's good pleasure, for which we should be truly thankful for. Jesus came for the purpose of restoring the world and bringing unity to all things in heaven and on earth. Now imagine a world that's restored into unity. Justice served, the truth displayed, hope fulfilled. Friends, we are heading to a time of fulfillment when unity is brought to all things. And I just think that's amazing. We are included and have an active role to play in bringing unity to all things. Because after all, we have a decision to be God's people. This passage is clear, especially in verse 10, that God is bringing everything together under the rule of Jesus Christ. This involves conforming to the will and purpose of God and putting our hope and praise in Jesus. The passage ties it all together from verse 13 by saying that when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells inside of you if you truly believe in him. He is the guarantee, the deposit of your inheritance to come. Having the Holy Spirit is the driver for our unity, which we only have through believing in the truth, which is Jesus. We have a unified hope in eternal life. We, as people who have been redeemed through the work of Jesus. That just has to make us thankful to God. And it makes so much sense why Paul praises God throughout when writing his letter to the Ephesians. For those of you who may not yet trust in Jesus, thanks so much for coming tonight. I pray that you would consider the person of Jesus and the good news that comes from being saved. Christians, despite being flawed and broken people, have a shared purpose and unity in being transformed by God. And for those of you who have put their trust in Jesus, again, thanks so much for coming tonight. I pray that you would continue to seek God and truly keep him at the center of your lives. So now, I've talked a lot about Paul's letter to the Ephesians and how, as God's people, we can have unity. But I wanted to finish by sharing three application points about how we can display unity in our lives. The first point of mine is for us to first acknowledge our need for Christian community. I think sometimes we downplay the importance of how the people we are with shape who we are and become. We right now are gathered to both know God and make him known. In a community, we are helped by others and can also help others. We move each other towards Christ-likeness in accordance to the pleasure and will of God. For myself, being in a solid Christian community has been a need, but even a challenge at times. During my last few years at UTS, where I studied, I felt really loved and spurred on in the Christian community I was a part of called Credo. Now, despite having struggles in those times, finding community in the context of church, I have been so, so thankful this year for people in GBC, and particularly my life group. I have found it such a pleasure with my life group, having great conversations, checking in with each other, and reading the Bible together. I would implore you to acknowledge the need of doing life with other Christians. We were not made to be alone all the time. Now, this Christian community could be starting with a local church. Whether at GBC or somewhere else, we would love to welcome you in. This could also be in other contexts and hobbies you have. The work of Hopefield is one example of just many. Spending your time with other like-minded people really does shape who you are and helps focus on Christ. My second point for displaying unity as God's people is to embrace differences we have with others. We are all made uniquely in the image of God, and because of this, we have different hobbies, interests, personalities, and gifts. Back to the example of my life group, I've got to know people who are different from me, and we have the shared purpose of wanting to know Jesus and what the Bible has to say. Don't see differences we have with each other as major stumbling blocks to getting to know someone. Any differences we have make us who we are and serve as good topics of conversation to relate to and to find more about each other. One caveat with this, though, is that we don't have to agree with everyone on everything. It's important, though, rather than getting bogged down in arguments or disagreement, that there is a unity of a shared trust in Christ we have that's more important. The last action point I have for today is to pray together as a church. Now, this could be corporately, together in services. Praying together as a church could also mean praying with the friends and the people you have around you. Praying together as a church could mean spending time to pray by yourself, committing yourself to praying alongside other people here also praying over this next week. Now, I've been thinking about this over the last few days. How cool would it be if we all as a church were committed to, over this week, praying two for two? I'm stealing this one off AFES. I'm an organisation connected to uni Christian groups called the Australian Fellowship for Evangelical Students. But what the two for two means is to pray for two people for 2 minutes a day. It really is such a great way to pray for those we love and care about, that they would meet Jesus or strengthen their relationship with him. I think we all need that prayer in our lives. So that is my final challenge. Let's be unified as a church in this coming week to be praying two for two. Two friends for 2 minutes a day. I'm now going to finish off in prayer. And as I do so, I'd love to invite the worship band up. Thanks, guys. Dear God, thanks for teaching us that we, as God's people, we have a unified purpose and belonging to you. Please help us in hearing your truth to be curious, lifelong learners who want their lives to be shaped by your character, Lord. We praise you, God, that you are bringing everything together under the rule of Christ Jesus. Thank you that we have a role to play in displaying unity. Help us to humbly acknowledge our need for Christian community and develop us so that we would be placing our hope and trust ever more firmly on you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this sermon podcast. We hope you found inspiration and encouragement, and God used this message to speak to you. If you want to connect more with GBC, you can follow us on social media or contact us via our website. You can also get to know some of the people from our church community through the We Are the Church podcast. Real stories of real people sharing how Jesus has shaped and transformed their life. We pray you experience the transforming power of Jesus in your life and pray that God blesses you today.